I think Nebraska has been talking about this for years. It is a very close election. 63 days ago, Chuck Schumer led a coup to overthrow Joe Biden, and he's telling me or any other Republican what we should be doing. If they change the law in Nebraska, it won't be on the phone in the middle of the night. It will be through a democratic process. The entire federal delegation of Nebraska, House members and two senators, want this change. To my friends in Nebraska, yeah, that one electoral vote could be the difference between Harris being president or not, and she's a disaster for Nebraska and the world.
I hear you're calling it a coup. Of course, Democrats have the right to change who's at the top.
They got that. It's their party. They have the right, I guess. You know, you can go ahead and say that. Does it make people feel better knowing that they didn't get to vote for the person who's on the ticket? Because, well, they can change. They have the right to change whatever. Yeah, but they don't have the right to, they have no standing to sit here and say it's a party of the people when you're disregarding. But I don't really give a rat's ass about that. I really don't care. I honestly don't care. I hope they switch it again. I hope they switch it as many times, because clearly their voters don't care. They don't care. Democrat voters don't care. They are hive mind. They have to be told who to vote for. They have to be told what to do. They have to be told by the, and they'll take it from the establishment. I've never seen people who so excitedly take so much grief from the establishment. When do Democrats, do they get tired of being kicked around? I'm just curious, do they? Because, I mean, from where I sit, and I think from where a lot of people sit, that's what it, you know, really looks like. Welcome to the show. We've got some things to get into. It's Monday. And I got some polling that we're going to have to go over, and it's not totally great. I mean, there's some bright spots to it, but there's a real growing concern. And I know you're not supposed to say things like this in the Republican side of things. You're not supposed to talk about the concern that people have with get out the vote efforts that Republicans may or may not be doing, because a lot of this get out the vote efforts by some of the third party groups that have been contracted by Democrat or by Republicans are only in a few states. And I think that impact is, we're starting to see a measure of that. And we have to have a conversation about it, because, you know, I kind of would like to change that. Don't you guys? Or is it better to not talk about it so that people don't think you're being critical of the top of the ticket? Because I actually do have people amongst my acquaintance who would rather not talk about it because they don't want to be viewed as being critical at the top of the ticket. And so they don't talk about any of this stuff. They don't talk about some of the troubles with some of this stuff in some, particularly some of these battleground states. And like I said, we're going to get into all of that. And of course, the latest with, we got some policy. We got a whole bunch of stuff to get into. Oh my gosh! And then some of this weird story that kind of broke over the weekend that has to do with RFK Jr. And you guys know I'm not an RFK Jr. fan. He agreed with us on COVID vaccines. That's awesome. He agreed with us on one issue. That doesn't mean that I'm going to bend over and kiss his ass. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. And I don't understand why there are so many people on the right that want to rush to lionize this guy, especially when his behavior, again, you know, I mean, go along with the trend. There's a story that came out over the weekend, and I just was rolling my eyes, because whenever it involves a media elite, I don't know. So as we roll into it, again, welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this first hour on yet another Monday as we start the week. And the IRS, well, it's the union that represents a number of different groups. And one of those groups is the IRS. And they have backed, who do you think they backed? If you had a guess. Yeah, the union that represents the IRS. Who do you think that they back? Oh, if you said Trump, you're wrong. They did not. In fact, they backed Kamala Harris. The agent union endorsed her for president. And this was just towards the end of just that after we were off air on Friday. They issued a statement saying she supports the issues that matter most to our members. And that, of course, remember, she was the deciding vote on the what was called the Inflation Reduction Act. And the Inflation Reduction Act, you remember what that did? It it supersized the IRS, and it also added those, how many agents was it? 88,000 agents that they added. Now, if you remember, Kamala Harris was literally the deciding vote on that as president of the Senate. She, at that time, cast the deciding vote for it. And so that's part of her legacy. You could say that that's a huge part of Kamala Harris's legacy. So I'm just saying, you know, just putting it out there. It's going to be larger and, you know, $5 trillion more, all this, that, all of it. I mean, it's just pretty unbelievable. So they've backed her, and that's not surprising. And they give, I didn't even know that they had a political action committee, the IRS agent union, if I'm being honest.
Why is that allowed?
Yeah, because it's like it's a public entity. So if it's a public entity, then, you know, that's true. Why is this? This is my issue. You are taking public money and you're using it to fund Democrat campaigns. I have a little bit of an issue with that, as I think anybody would. So they spend pretty much it's 97% Americans for Tax Reform broke down their union spending, and it showed that they give all of their funding, 97% of it, exclusively to Democrats. They said in 2022, $635,000 went to Democrats. And they give it to different Democrat politicians, the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee. They're responsible for helping senators get elected, the Congressional Campaign Committee that are responsible for getting congressional members elected, and all of it. I mean, it's exclusively to Democrats. And they're huge, and they love the big tax hikes because Tim Walz, he's gotten a lot of cash from the IRS agent union. They list him as 100% on their IRS agent scorecard when he was in Congress. And he's a big supporter of tax hikes. Just keep in mind that when Tim Walz was as governor of Minnesota, before he was governor of Minnesota, as he was coming into office, Minnesota actually had an $18 billion surplus. They were taking some responsible steps. They were curtailing their spending. And as a result of curtailing their spending, they didn't have to jack up taxes on Minnesotans. So they had an $18 billion budget surplus. And guess what? After Tim Walz was elected, he blew through it. How do you blow through, even in like a handful of years, how do you blow through $18 billion? Not only did he blow through the budget surplus, but then he started taking the state into the red. He would not stop spending. And while all of this was happening, he encouraged and they helped pass taxes on the middle class. So this is the stuff that he's done. He's doubled fees on fishing boats. If you kayak, if you canoe, if you do anything outdoors, the fees that you have to pay in order to do any of that has been doubled. And because this affects people that make less than $100,000 a year. But you got a John boat, you're paying a fee. He blew through $18 billion. And what's interesting is they're talking about Minnesota Department of Natural Resources had 48% of Minnesota boat owners make less than $100,000 a year. And it was the majority of these people that are hit with this because their boat's under 17 feet. He's doubled the fee, in some cases tripled the fee. He hiked boats. I mean, depends on how big. I mean, every little thing you can think of. Think of something that you do in every day. He figured out a way to charge a fee for it or double the fee. No joke. This is the kind of stuff. And so, of course, they love him. Of course, they love Harris. Harris was the deciding vote and expanded and adding 88,000 agents. Of course, they love her. Now, as it relates to the Republican side, I saw over the weekend that some of the fallout from that Mark Robinson thing is continuing. Now, I'm going to tell you, I think I've met him in person one time, and it was in passing. I think I was in the lobby somewhere, and I think he was there, and we were introduced. And he was, you know, he was nice. I just don't know him that well. But now the media obviously is trying to pin all of this on Republicans everywhere. They said he apparently lost a bunch of people, Robinson did, from his campaign. Now, I am hearing that more things are going to come out, but it doesn't relate to comments that are left on pornographic forums. It relates to financial info. That's what I have been hearing. I was asking some of my friends who work in D.C. and some of my friends who work in politics in North Carolina. And that's just some, I, no one would give me any kind of specificity. It's except it has to do with like personal financial. So I don't know what that entails, but that's apparently something that's apparently what's coming up. So just saying, but it's past deadline for him to leave the race. So they can't sub anything out if Republicans even wanted to. But that's the latest. So we'll see what happens. But I don't even know why they even need to do it, because even before, Mark Robinson was 10 points behind the Democrat contender. And that was even before the scandal. But as you know, this isn't really so much about Robinson. They're trying to make this the 16 electoral votes. They're trying to flip North Carolina away from Trump, because North Carolina was kind of, it's a battleground state. And so they're trying to flip that away from Trump. And they're trying to make it super competitive. I see kind of a play that Democrats are fomenting, and I don't know if the Republicans that are running out the outreach on the ground are ready for it. I don't know what kind of outreach they got in North Carolina. A friend of mine was saying that they weren't seeing a lot of signs in the yard. I do know one thing. It almost makes me never want to donate to a damn Republican again. You get so many texts. How many texts do you get on average a day, Kane? I get about 16 or 17 texts.
Yeah,
solicitations.
I'd say spam texts.
Yeah, from donate to this pack. And I don't donate to political action committees for candidates. I donate directly to candidates. I do not donate to groups, because a lot of these political action committees, I understand, you know, it's biblical. You pay people for their work. But at the same time, there are people who don't want to do a lot of work, and they run these packs and they take six-figure checks and they sit on their backsides and they don't do anything. And there's more of them than you would think. And it's some rough stuff. Rough stuff. Look, I'm going to tell you, I have no problem using lethal force at all whatsoever against the threat upon my life, person, safety, or the people I love. I literally just sleep better at night. I'm all warm and snuggly, and it gives me warm fuzzies. I don't care, because that's a consequence of being a criminal. There are times when I can't carry because it's a private property and I got to go there and they don't want me to carry my gun. It's a gun-free zone because they think magical signs have magical properties that protect people. It's not true. We all know that. We've seen the statistics. This is why you need to diversify your self-defense options and consider a Bernigun. Bernigun's not it's a non-firearm firearm. In fact, it's a way to diversify your self-defense options. The most popular model is the Berna SD. What it is it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats like up to 50 feet away. When you compare it to stun guns, they got like one or two shots. You got five rounds with the Berna SD. And I have four friends, three in D.C. and two in D.C., one that goes between Chicago and D.C. and one in New York. And they all got the Berna gun because their jobs, media and law, they have to go to gun-free zones. And so they carry this. You don't have to have a background check. There's no waiting period. And they ship it right to your door. So it's a great option to have when you need to diversify your defensive options. Learn more about the Berna gun. Visit Berna.com/Dana and get 10% off your purchase. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently there's incidents of GPS spoofing. It used to happen for quite a bit. Now it's like a 400% increase, according to an OPS group report. GPS spoofing occurs when fake radio signals are used to interfere and override a legitimate one. It's a cyber attack. And now there's a lot of discussion as to whether or not foreign entities, hostile entities, could use this as a way of cyber attacks against the United States. So have fun on your flights. Think about that the next time you're flying. No fear. No worries. Let's see. Cards Against Humanity sues SpaceX and alleges invasion of land on the U.S.-Mexico border. Cards Against Humanity. This is okay. They've sued SpaceX, saying that Musk's firm illegally took over a plot of land on the U.S.-Mexico border that the party game company bought in 2017. They were trying to stop what they said was Trump's attempt to build the wall. I've never played this game. No, I've never played Cards Against, because it sounds stupid, and I've never played it. if I wanted to play a game, I'm going to play a game like Risk or Monopoly, where I can shake everybody down or take over all your land. So this is true. I didn't know that Cards Against Humanity were a bunch of butthurt progressives. Did you know that? So you're putting money in the pocket of Marxists. But they bought this land as a way to stop Trump's attempt to build a wall. Well, I mean, I would just out of spite, even though I don't believe in eminent domain, but the left does, I would exploit that. And then I would take it and use that to take their land. Let's see here. Metabolism and diet, they say, are linked to the root of bipolar depression. This also seems like kind of a duh issue. Scientists in Edinburgh say that they have studied the link between healthy diets and the prevalence of bipolar depression. And they've looked at hundreds of thousands of people. It's a pretty wide-reaching study. It was done by the Vizuki Foundation and the UK Research and Innovation Agency. And so they're looking at the relationship between that and other metabolic disorders. So very interesting. Emmanuel Macron, who is he's the French Marxist with the hot for teacher wife. Remember he married his teacher? He unveiled a new right-wing French government. Remember, the Marxists over in France lost in the last election, so they had a snap general election and delivered a hung parliament. Now they have a new lineup, their prime minister, Michel Barnier. It's a huge shift to the right. Even though they did have a lot of the parliamentary seats, there were some seats that were kept or won by the left-wing alliance. They have a lot more centrists and people on the right, so it's a fractured parliament. It'll be very interesting to see what they do. Trump says that if he doesn't win in 2024, he's not going to run again in 2028. That will be it. And I think that that's the right choice to make. I mean, regardless, I mean, he's termed out. Even if he runs, we're going to have to have another big giant election in 28 because he's termed out. But if he doesn't win, he says he's not going to run again. And I think it would be crazy at this point to do it. This is interesting. This guy, that Anchorage man who was arrested for making threats against the Supreme Court justices, he's been released. Yeah, after 22 crimes and hundreds of messages, he's been released, according to the DOJ. More on that coming up. As we move our partners over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country, and Patriot Mobile wants to save you money. They also realize that your money, you work hard for it, and you don't want it to go towards advocating for or putting momentum behind the things that you vote against. And so they're like-minded, they think like you. And they put that momentum behind the things that you vote to protect, in fact. And you can save money with Patriot Mobile. They offer a reliable nationwide coverage in all three major networks. You're getting the best service without funding the left. Free activation with code Dana. And right now, you get a free month of service when you use offer code Dana. Keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours. They have 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They're going to make it easy to switch. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Get that free month of service using offer code Dana. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Well, I went shopping in Aurora yesterday. What a lot of Americans need to know is Aurora is over 400,000 people. It's Colorado's third largest city. Violent crime is down 2 years in a row. Car thefts are down 2 years in a row. It's a wonderful city. I'm there all the time. It's really a great diverse city, and it's growing fast. It'll probably be the number one or number two city in Colorado over the next decade or two. So it's a great city. It's safer than it's been. And look, it's like any city. Chicago, L.A., mid-sized cities, Denver. Of course, there's been an issue with gangs for decades.
Did he have a Venezuelan gang member like under his chair, getting ready to beat him to death? Is that why he's saying this stuff? Because he's like, oh yeah, Aurora, Colorado is a great, great city. We don't have issues with gangs here. That's what somebody who had a gun to the back of their head would say by a Venezuelan gang member.
Is he blinking Morse code?
Yeah, I know you would think. That's the Democratic governor. That's Jared Polis, who's saying that, no, there's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with Aurora's a wonderful city. It's safer than it's ever been. I mean, excluding the Venezuelan gang issue. By the way, speaking of that, Aurora PD's issued warrants for the armed men who took over one of the apartment buildings. Yeah. Issued because they didn't exist, but we're going to go ahead and issue warrants for these non-existent people anyway, right? This is CBS that reported this, which is a very conservative. It stands for the Conservative Broadcasting Society. That's what CBS stands for. I don't know if you knew that. You would think it was Corporation for Public Broadcasting, but being that this conflicts with progressive narrative, it's not that at all. I mean, very, very conservative over at CBS. But they've issued warrants for all these guys. Huh. Kane. How do you issue a warrant for somebody who doesn't exist?
That's weird. That's my exact question.
Because that's what they really were saying. They were saying that none of these people existed.
Right. It's just all made up. It's, yeah. You know, it's conspiracy. All made up.
Exactly. It's just all conspiracy. These guys don't exist. Don't worry about it.
It's a MAGA lie.
That's right. It was a MAGA lie. And by the way, my voice can be very deep right now. I'm not sick at all. I mean, my throat's fine. I feel great. I have super swollen vocal cords that we cannot get situated. So that's what's up. I'm totally fine. People are like, I swear to you, I'm not sick. I feel great. It's just laryngitis, and I worked all weekend. So now this is the result. So we're dealing with that. So I'm not, God love you all. You're all very sweet, but I'm not sick. I promise you I'm not sick. Because people are now asking, like, I hope Kane and Wanda get, nobody's sick. Nobody's going to get sick. It's just the swollen vocal cords.
I've been taking my probiotics. I'm fine.
It's not an issue of that. It's an issue of, when you talk for a living, and I don't have nodes because I was scoped. I do not have nodes on my vocal cords, because then that's the next thing people are going to. I appreciate the kind words and prayers. Anyway. But I was told that Aurora is great. So does that mean that there's no, that was all, because that was all a lie, right? Wasn't it? There was one big, as you said, MAGA lie. You have to say it like that, because that's how Hakeem Jeffries and everyone else says it. So now all of the leaders are backtracking on this stuff. They were saying, oh, well, you know, maybe there are some here. Maybe there's some here. And the Democrats were saying, well, this isn't just an Aurora issue. Like, that's a defense. That's kind of the point, though. Yeah, it's not just an issue with Aurora, Colorado. It's literally an issue everywhere. But that doesn't mean it's less of an issue in Aurora, Colorado, because it also is happening everywhere else. You see how that works? One does not negate the other. They had a shooting over the weekend in Aurora, Colorado involving... It rhymes with Venezuelan mangs. Just saying. Rhymes with that. But no, they're saying, oh, no, this is... It doesn't exist because Trump talked about it. And J.D. Vance talked about it. So it can't exist because these guys talked about it. So they will deny it. They could see Venezuelan gangs literally protesting in the street with a banner saying, we are Venezuelan gang members and we're taking over your city. And they would still be like, what? We don't have a problem here. Aurora is a beautiful city. Very beautiful. There's, you know, it's nothing happening here. Or they say because of the manner in which they were brought over that, well, you know, they didn't come from across the border. They're not illegal immigrants like that. No, they were brought here, actually still illegally, even if it's Biden and Harris, under the Temporary Protected Status Program, which is something that, you know, you're going to have to, you got to change law more so than issue executive orders. Otherwise, that's not how that works. So I don't recognize the legality of that whole process. So yes, technically illegal still. Even if you brought in giant swaths of people from one country, and that's what the TPS, the Temporary Protected Status, does. Just saying. So I listen to this. Like it would say, Trump is taken to using, this is Politico, Aurora and Springfield as his favorite examples of everything he sees wrong about the Biden administration's immigration policies. Often with scary anecdotes. I'm pretty sure the little girl that was raped and beaten to death by an illegal immigrant who came across the border, again, illegally from Venezuela, that's more than an anecdote. Don't reduce the pain and suffering that Americans, by way of being born here or by way of immigrating here legally, are going through because you're so terrified of giving Trump a point on immigration or giving Republicans a point. That's how they use this. Golly, everything is so stupid. The left use everything as a damn competition. I've never seen people that have such an inferiority complex in my life. Right? Didn't SNL do a skit on this? Where it was like that one chick that always had to make bigger than the other, always had to have a bigger story, or she always had to be going through the exact same thing. And that's like what this is. You're reducing people down to nothing, real tragedies down to nothing, because they're absolutely terrified that by acknowledging what's happening at the southern border, that gives Trump a win. Now, if Democrats were smart, they would say, well, this is how, they would immediately just turn around and own the issue by eliminating Trump in terms of rhetoric, not sending people out, you know, on sloped pitch roofs. And they would say, well, here's our solution. This is a problem. Yes, this is our solution for it. But they don't, because they don't want to solve it. I mean, when you offer a solution, that kind of indicates that you're wanting to solve it. That's why they don't have anything. That's the way I would handle it. I wouldn't even mention him. I'd come out and be like, yeah, this is a problem and this is how we're going to fix it. And then I would just completely blow up that particular narrative with all these examples of how we're going to solve it and just completely take over the news cycle. Just carpet bomb the news cycle. But they don't do that because they don't want to solve it. They want to cry, moan, and whine about it and act like it's so mean to prevent these poor little gang members. It's so sad coming in. They just want some bread. Coming in just to get some bread. You know, maybe your daughter's. It's okay. But it's not fake. It's not fake. And I wish that Republicans are like, oh, we're going to build a... I'm sorry. That's great. You want to build a wall. Can you kind of elaborate a little bit more? What else are we going to do? Can you please put this Republican Party in a soundbite that's 30 seconds or less? Imagine that you are in the elevator with the voting American public. In 30 seconds or less, you need to sell them on this. Imagine the independents are all in the elevator with you. How are you selling them on it? Don't be like, we're going to build a wall. Great, that's been said for 8 years. By the way, it hasn't been built all the way. You can sit here and tell me about red tape all you damn want to, but independents are going to look at it and they're going to say, oh, it didn't get done. They're not going to care about the red tape because that's not how this works. They're going to say, who didn't do it? Who was there and who didn't do it? That's how everyone who supports the top of the ticket has got to look at this. And you've got to message around that. People don't get it. But you got to imagine you're in an elevator with all these independents. How are you going to convince them? Give them specificity. I will say Republicans on the issue of immigration have been doing it, you know, a lot more than anybody else. But you need more specificity on this. You got to have some more on it. Now, it's in Denver, it's in Colorado. What happened to Colorado? Remember, they had 63 straight years of Republican administration in Colorado. And then in two election cycles, they lost it. Two election cycles. They actually wrote a book about it called The Blueprint. They were trying to do it in Texas, but Texans are really ornery. And basically, Florida did the reverse to it. They took it and flipped it. And so in Colorado, they went blue in two elections. And then look what happened. This was like, I don't know, maybe 12 to 15 years ago when all of this happened. I was out there in Glendale, which is a great town. They had a libertarian mayor. It was fab. This should have been a reality show. It was so great. Super nice area. They had a lot of people who were very, very engaged. And that's before it really got bad. I know a lot of folks who have like moved either out of the more urban and suburban areas, like even out to the country, because they just kind of wanted to get away from it. It's gotten, and restrictions on firearms, the taxation, to say nothing of the open borders. But Democrats go, well, we'll just legalize pot. They think they'll throw weed at independent voters and that'll do it. I mean, with some of the capital L's, it may, but that's not going to, then now look at, we got Venezuelan gangs coming in. Was the weed worth it? Got Venezuelan gangs coming in, taking everything over. Your taxes are sky high and you can't own half the guns that you want to. Is it worth it? I mean, you got to look at this stuff. It's just crazy. Audio soundbite 27, Greg Abbott says, because Texas, the border crossings in Texas have decreased, but they've increased elsewhere. Listen to what Abbott says here.
But you mentioned something else that not enough Americans know, and that is, I know the reason why the crossings at the border are down is because Biden is flying them across the border and then moving them to cities across the entire United States.
True. It is true. It's absolutely true. I mean, I don't know, maybe people, audio soundbite 32, can get a job attending Kamala Harris's rally when they come across the border, because apparently that's the hot new job market. Mm-hmm. Watch this.
Listen to this. She is getting paid $700 a week to go to wherever Kamala's campaign tells them to go to. So it's $100 a day, $700 a week. And she's not even a citizen. She can't vote, but she wants that extra money. So that's why she's doing it. So... their campaign, well, anyway, that's is one getting person's, a bunch of
I thought it was
people.
A news report. That's one person's remark on it. In an era where daily election headlines and political turmoil can create a sense of unrest, having a peaceful retreat is more important than ever. Cozy Earth's exceptional products can be instrumental in helping you establish a sanctuary within your own home. Their sheet set is a standout favorite of mine. You get unmatched comfort and a nice soothing touch. You can create your own sanctuary with Cozy Earth's best-selling bamboo sheet set made from 100% premium viscose from bamboo. The softness of their sheets and the quality of their materials will truly elevate your space and turn your bedroom into a cozy haven. And if you're seeking to transform your living environment into a serene escape, Cozy Earth also offers the perfect solution to create that tranquil home that you've been longing for. With a 10-year guarantee, these sheets are a long-lasting investment in quality. So get the ultimate in comfort and up to 40% off at CozyEarth.com/Dana and use code Dana. Don't forget to tell them that I sent you in the post-purchase survey and you can get free socks. That's CozyEarth.com/Dana and use code Dana to get up to 40% off.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Roger in Kansas on the line for Democrats. Good morning, Roger.
She's so awkward.
Yes, I have my main issue. I'm going to close my eyes. And then I'm going to vote for closed borders. I'm going to vote for less taxes. I'm going to vote for more reasonable energy costs. And if you vote, close your eyes and vote that way, it's a pretty simple choice because both candidates have a history. So you just vote on that, and I don't have to tell you who I'm voting for.
Well, she just looked confused there. She's like, wait a minute, where's this going? When I was actually confused right after he said, I'm going to close my eyes. And I'm like, oh boy, what are we going? Where are we going? That, I mean, that there are a lot of people who feel that way. And there are a lot of people more so than are more, there are more people like this than there are people who are supremely devoted to one candidate or the other. And to an extent, neither party understands that, to be honest with you. Democrats don't get it, and a lot of Republicans don't get it. That's why, you know, people are telling Republicans, talk about these issues. When you talk about these issues, man, you're winning people over right and left. When you're sticking to the hits, when you're sticking to what you want to do to counter the deluge at the border, when you're sticking to what you're going to do to defeat inflation, when you're sticking to making tax cuts permanent, when you're sticking to, do you like your health care? You can actually keep it instead of trying to, because that's one of the other things we're going to talk about. Kamala Harris wants to just eliminate all private plans entirely. I mean, I don't know if you've all been on government care, but it's horrible. It is really bad. It's like, might as well just not have it. It's so bad. And you do lose your doctors because I've lost three of them. Thanks to Obamacare. So great. So when people sit here and tell me that doesn't happen, my truth is no, that's the truth. So that's the other thing you got to consider. People don't want to pay an arm and a leg for health insurance for their families and then be denied access to specialists and the doctors that they've been going to their whole lives. They don't want to have to pay more. Those are the issues that you hit. That's the stuff that you talk about. And Democrats aren't doing that, as we can see. And that's one of the reasons why they are struggling with a lot of independence. But you still have this narrative of, I think people are believe that either side is wholly, completely tribal and partisan to one candidate or the other. And it's not like that. And people are overlooking that huge, huge demographic of people right in the middle who are kind of looking to the right and left, and they're not happy with either choice. But when you talk to them about the issues, they're like this guy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course I want all these things. Okay, then. That's why I think it's Republicans need to make it less about names and more about issues. Let the issues be the names. Right? Let reducing and eliminating illegal immigration be the name. Let lower taxes be the name. That's what you need to do. That's what they how they have to do this. Meanwhile, Democrats, what are Democrats talking about? I mean, I literally don't even know. What are their, they've got Joe Biden stuff, and then she's, what, is she going to actually debate? I know they got a VP debate coming up next week. And we'll see. We'll see how that works. Coming up, we've got the latest, Israel in Lebanon going after Hezbollah. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. They finally, I think, they need to completely just exclude the United States from the process of decision-making on that, or influence on that. Also, I've got some polling for you. There's measures on favorability, on momentum, and we got to talk about voter canvassing. Republicans have been behind the ball on voter canvassing and are still behind the ball on it. That is a huge problem. And if anybody watched the results coming in 2012, as I did live that night and then having to go on television, it is, I'm terrified that we're going to have a repeat of that. And this, you don't think that canvassing and getting these voters out is important. This is what gets Republicans every time. So we have to talk about this. And then we're also going to get Gina Jackson made a claim about Kamala Harris, and the left lost their minds this weekend. So she kind of walked it back, sort of. We'll talk about that and so much more. Stick with us. Second hour on the way.
Hi, I'm Matthew, a theater major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
The great Abraham Lincoln described the Constitution as a picture or frame of silver, built to guard or protect an apple of gold. This apple of gold was the Declaration of Independence and its principle of equal rights for all. This principle of equal rights, Lincoln said, clears the path for all, gives hope to all, and by consequence, enterprise and industry to all. There are many today who seek to limit or distort this great principle by employing a distorted definition of equality, an equality of condition or outcome, regardless how people live their lives. This distortion, if generally accepted, will lead to an America less prosperous and less free.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
This Constitution Minute was furnished by Hillsdale College.
What is she talking about? That's not flashback audio from her, like, talking about Pence or anything, right?
No.
What is she? Because she says, I'd like another debate. I hope the former vice president would agree to that. Who is she talking about?
Nobody knows.
Can you play that again? That is so weird.
It's hard to hear because of the tarmac.
Yeah, just listen location. To what, because this is not old. I want to, this is not old. Go ahead. Okay, I am so confused about this. So this was literally over the weekend. What? Former vice president would, so she, does she think she's president? Is she secretly serving as president? Was there like a secret oath taken and all this stuff? And Biden's just, I mean, I don't.
Still wouldn't be accurate, her talking about herself in third person. Is she talking about Biden?
I don't even know.
He's a former vice
president.
It's
so weird. It is so weird. I'm trying not to be a conspiracy theorist, but it's 2024 and I feel like you have to be just to exist in this year. Like it's a requirement. So welcome back to the show. Top of the second hour this Monday, Dana Lash with you. I don't know what she means here. This, okay, can I was going to do this at the bottom of last hour and we ended up talking about something else, but keep that in mind, what you just heard. I think that there is such a poisonous environment politically, and it has just, it's affecting literally everything. And so as a result, you're seeing, I think it's adding to, does this make sense? Like a fog of confusion for people, for voters. I think that people are purposefully overwhelmed. And I said this was going to happen months ago when, and I know why Trump announced early. I think part of it was because of the legal maneuvering. I know there's, you know, he announced early and I get that. But I think that people are so overwhelmed and just so, they're so done with it all that they're not considering that any kind of rash vote or rash reaction manifested as a vote, that's going to have like an enormous consequence. But I think that people are so overwhelmed. That's the point. You just want to be done with it. There is a real sense that people just want to be done with it. And we're going to talk about that. So again, welcome back. Dana Lash with you. Channel 347 DirecTV. You can watch the simulcast. Also on X. The chat happens at Rumble. As Lorraine knows, yeah, Kamala is the former VP who needs to agree. That's her. So weird. I'm trying not to be a total conspiracy theorist, but this doesn't help. All right, let's look at some of the favorability between the two candidates. And I'm looking at the average of three different aggregators, three different aggregates of voting. So you have, like, for instance, you have Real Clear Politics, which takes all of these polls out there and they average it all out. And then they come up with, this is the average. The same, you have The Hill. You also have Decision Desk HQ, which is a very smart one. RCP, 538, all of them. So these are every survey that has been released and it's averaging out. And even if I'm taking some of the goofier surveys that I think are too small or oversampled, it's still the same. Trump favorability. From The Hill to 538 to RCP, his unfavorables lead in every single one. 54, 52, and 52. I mean, they're 538 and RCP have them averaged out the same. They're just a smidge higher with The Hill. His favorables, pretty much The Hill and 538 at 42. RCP has it a little higher at almost 45%. When you look at the generic ballot and then Harris v. Trump, and again, I'm telling you this because we've got time on the clock and I want things to be rectified, okay? I am just giving you the message. The Hill, 538, and RCP. It is so close, it's stupid. The Hill has the averages at 50 to 46 Harris. 538, 48 to 45 Harris. RCP, 49 to 47 Trump. It's very important to note, 538 and RCP, their averages fall within the margin of error, so you could technically argue that those are tied. The Hill... it's not. She's beyond margin of error, plus two over him. Now, looking at some of the forecasts, and this is where it gets really interesting. And then you look at the betting odds and all of it. We're up here. I mean, getting into early voting. And it is, the first mail-in ballots are already being sent out. So know that. This is why I also kind of hate October surprises. October surprises mean something when everyone votes in November. The first ballots are being mailed out. Now, this is when October surprise is kind of irrelevant because you're going to have a lot of people who are going to vote early now. So Harris is maintaining a slight lead, but it is such a razor thin margin. So what they have, the Electoral College forecast, and this is for The Hill, they have it projected electorally 226 to 219 Harris. Now here's where it gets real interesting. So Pennsylvania is considered a toss up. North Carolina is a toss up. Georgia is a toss up. Now, as we get closer to elections, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you three potential outcomes, and I'll put this up on my newsletter at Substack, chapter and verse. I will give you three potential electoral map outcomes that are down to the latest surveys leading up into the weeks before the election. But these toss-up states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. This is why North Carolina is important. This is why it's not about Mark Robinson in North Carolina. It's about their 16 electoral votes and Trump in North Carolina. Keep that in mind. Now, Democrats are going to make a play for Georgia. They're not so much interested in Pennsylvania. That's why they didn't go with Josh Shapiro up there, because they felt like they could lose it and they could still manage by keeping. They think that they're on track with Michigan and Wisconsin, and you have 15 and 10 electoral votes respectively. North Carolina is very interesting. That's what they're making a play for it with this. And some of the Republicans there are helping them. And also, This is why in battleground states, and we knew North Carolina was going to be a battleground state early on, you got to be careful with your candidates. That's a conversation for later. Now, I think the Hill gets some things right, and I think they get some things wrong. One of the things that a lot of people are skipping over, so they have Florida as leaning GOP. Florida is going to be GOP, and towards the end of it, it will be solid GOP. The issue that is that they're taking into account with this is that some national Republicans are not polling as well in Florida as the state Republicans are. Certain states are very tribal about their Republicans. Florida and Georgia and Texas are among them. That is why Cornyn somehow outperformed even Trump during the last election. That also had to do with split ticket voting, which the Republican Party has done absolutely nothing to address, which is a major concern. So that is looking at the Hill. Looking at 538, some of the forecasts. 538 has Harris 60, Trump 40. That's the New York Times. You have to separate New York Times 538 and Nate Silver because he sold that. Nate Silver is, I think, way more reasonable at 53 to 46 Harris. Although I think it's way closer than that, if I'm being honest. Do I think Trump has a major lead? No. Because the state polls that are done by local, like in-state agencies and newspapers, and then some of the internals that campaigns end up later releasing, show it to be way closer than that. Do I think that it's 60-40 Harris? No. Do I think that Trump's leading? No. So that's, I think, by everything that I've seen, it is literally tied. And this goes back to the point that I came in with. Because I can hear you out there, and you're probably thinking, as I am, okay, how in the world is that possible? Look at what happened these last 4 years. I completely agree with you. But this is where you have to understand the psychology of it. Remember in the very beginning, way back when Trump first announced, and I said, this is so early, this is going to end up hurting Republicans likely later on. And I didn't mean that like Trump specifically. I meant it kickstarts the whole cycle into getting super serious, super fast. And I know that people have he has his reasons for getting in that early, et cetera, et cetera. But it's super early, super fast. This has been the longest political cycle, technically, really, of my memory. Kane, would you agree?
Oh, yeah.
By the time it gets down to it, people are so done with it. They're tired of it. They want to be done with it. Do you think that's an accurate assessment, Kane?
Oh.
Because I think that that's what we're seeing in a lot of these.
I think it's by design.
Favorable and unfavorable. Exactly. That's my point. I told you that, guys, this was the design. They want you to be so completely exhausted and done with it that just vote and get done with it. Vote and get done with it. And maybe you'll put in a little less effort into making sure your neighbor's registered or that your neighbor, you know, the people that you know are all voting. Maybe, just maybe it'll hurt a little bit to get out the vote efforts because everybody's going to be so tired of it. Maybe they won't get the responses that they want to. You've got to consider all of this. There is a psychology of it. That's why I hate it that the election cycle lasts this long, because the more you wear people down, the less receptive they become. That's my whole point when I was talking about this a year and a half ago. And now we're here. So I think that plays into the favorability and unfavorability of it all. Looking at Nate Silver, again, 53 to 46 Trump. The Economist has it 60 to 40 Harris. I think that's stupid. I think that's just dumb. I don't think that that's accurate. But the new rating for North Carolina, I'm going to pull this up. Elections Daily has North Carolina as being safe. They're saying that it's going to be Democrat, not even leans Democrat. They're saying it's safe Democrat. So everybody of Cook Political Report, which is another way where they measure these states. They'll have a state, it looks like it's leaning Democrat, meaning there's a good chance it's going to go Democrat, and then likely Democrat. They go further with Elections Daily. They have safe, likely, and leans. I think that this is silly to say that it's safe Democrat, because I think that there's too much in play and it's too volatile right now. I think it's probably leaning Democrat. But that's why North Carolina is so incredibly important. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, because now by dragging in, they've been trying to get comments from the media, Lindsey Graham and all these other people. I get it that there were some Republicans there that wanted to try to get out that Robinson guy who's running for governor there. But this late in the game, pulling these moves this late in the game, and from my understanding, it wasn't just Democrats that did it. It was some Republicans that did the party Republicans that did it as well. if he's a compromised candidate, which it seems like he may be, if he's a compromised candidate, you have to deal with, you have to go to war with the soldiers you got. You have to play the hand you're dealt. I don't know how many different ways I can say you've got to deal with the circumstances in which you are in and make the absolute best of it. And that way isn't it, because now the electoral votes are up into play. So some stupid strategy going on in that state. So I wanted to give you kind of a little bit of the lay of the land and as to why these polls are looking like this. I think it's a combination of many, many things, which are going to take many weeks to discuss. But I wanted to give you sort of the latest of where we're at. Coming up on top of this, we've got to talk about Republican get out the vote efforts. This is going to affect what you're going to, how you're going to live your life after November. We're going to discuss that. I got some culture issues to hit as well. So you don't want to miss any part of the show. Our partners for this portion of our program, it's Kel-Tec. The P15 is the smallest, thinnest double stack 9mm on the market. And you should definitely check it out if you haven't. They have two versions, the metal version and the polymer version. And the metal version, it's beautiful, has these walnut panels on it. The polymer version's got that gator grip texture. It is a really awesome, super concealable firearm. It is literally the lightest one that I have, lightest and thinnest that I have that's 9mm. You're not losing any stopping power. You have ultra concealability. Comes with two magazines. One's a standard 15 round with minimal pinky extension. The other's a flush fit double stack mag that holds 12. Striker fire reliability, great trigger pull, and lifetime warranty. From the inventors of the micro compact pistol category, it's Kel-Tec. Innovation performance, Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KELTEC Weapons.com. It's the P15. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So first up, oh boy, scientists in South Africa say they've identified the first known outbreak of rabies in seals. That makes me sad because seals look, you know, like so happy and cute and cuddly. I mean, I know they're not, but, you know, I tend to think I'm kind of like Snow White when it comes to animals. 24 Cape fur seals that were found dead or euthanized in various locations on South Africa's west and south coast had rabies, which can be passed to people. That's sad. Can you imagine a rabid seal, though? How does that end up? Like, I read Old Yeller, but what about, like, Old Seal? I don't know. Just not like the singer, like the animal. Let's see here. Also, had to note it. Gulf tropical storm is likely to hit Florida southeast late this week. They're looking at whether or not it's going to turn into a hurricane. It's coming up through the Gulf, going over the tip of the Yucatan Peninsula, and then it's going to be hitting the panhandle. It could be hitting 30A is where it looks like it's going to be going towards. But they're watching it. It's developing in the next day or so. It's entering the Gulf of Mexico. Details beyond that are uncertain, but they're keeping an eye on it. This is ironic. A Cal Fire engineer faces arson charges and is suspected of sparking 5 wildfires in Northern California. So again, a California fire engineer is facing arson charges. Well, one would be a fire engineer, you know, if you liked arson, just saying. A sunken superyacht believed to contain watertight safes with sensitive intelligence data. Is the Epstein list in there? I'm just curious. Specialist divers are looking at the wreckage of this $40 million super yacht that sank off Sicily in August, that British tech tycoon, and now they have heightened security guarding it. This story gets weirder and weirder. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. No matter why you're preparing emergency survival food, it's crucial that your supplies last as long as you need them without compromising on flavor. It doesn't have to taste awful. Check out my top recommendation for the best survival food available, and that's ReadyWise Foods. Stocking up on ReadyWise emergency food means that you're set for whatever comes your way. Whether it's a natural disaster, a power outage, an unforeseen storm, having a well-prepared stash helps you tackle any challenge with assurance. Stock up with 8 servings of brown sugar maple oatmeal, 12 servings of whey milk, and 4 each of cheesy macaroni, teriyaki rice, and tortilla soup. It's perfect for groups or just a hearty solo meal. And you can enjoy real tasty meals with ReadyWise. Savor hot, comforting meals in any crisis. ReadyWise is essential gear with a 25-year shelf life, providing easy-to-cook, delicious meals for your survival supplies. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off any regularly priced items. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off. ReadyWise.com.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah, so our system is antiquated and difficult to understand because it's different from one state to the next. And by having Georgia have to hand count ballots, it doubles down on that antiquated part, but it also creates opportunity to sow misinformation. We found in the January 6th committee that those differences between the way states count votes and when they announce were used to sow doubt on the outcome of the election. And when average Americans were lied to by powerful people, they showed up on January 6th and engaged in acts of political violence. And I think we really have to brace ourselves knowing that there's quite a few number of lawsuits already filed.
Where is she getting this information from?
Voting.
You know, so many of these countries that hand count their ballots, they get their results like in hours. Yeah. You know, I mean, where in the world these are? I mean, I think that you're trying to sow. I don't know. I believe people counting hand counting ballots more so than I believe an easily compromised system, digital system doing it. This is former Democrat Representative Stephanie Murphy. She's like, no, we can't hand count these ballots. It's a danger to democracy because you can't do it. What? I don't know. I got questions about this chick. I got questions about, I don't believe that. And again, the resistance against accountability makes me question it even all the more, right? Like when they refuse accountability and they're refusing any kind of anything to restore faith in the system, then that makes me disbelieve them even more. I don't know. What's wrong with hand counting ballots? Might make people question the results of the election. But again, there are so many other countries that hand count ballots and they get their results in hours. Why can't we do that? No, we got to tie it all up with, I mean, it's just, there's, come on. That's just, that's the best way to do it. We need to go back to that. I mean, nobody, if you have both parties present and they're hand counting everything, there's not, and they're overseeing it. There's not a lot of room to screw it up. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of room to add some zeros onto that. I don't know. I mean, we counted ballots. How many? Kane, for years, when did we first start doing the digital system for this?
Oh, Lord. It would have been after the Gore, the Bush-Gore thing, because
it was hanging chads. Oh, I'm going to crumple into my
seat. It was sometime after that, but I would imagine probably it was implemented during around that time. They were probably testing it in smaller cities and more local areas, but I assume it's just a short time after that.
I remember all of that. Yeah, the electronic voting and looking when this started in the United States. I mean, again, we would hand count it for years. And we had results within hours, you know, same day results. We had a clear, like there was a clear winner. And then now look at it. We digitize it. We have electronic voting. And it's unclear even days after. I mean, it's kind of harder to steal an election when everybody's hand counting the ballots. That's just stupid. I mean, it's secured and it's monitored and they know the chain of custody for everything. This idea that some people believe it. She, I think, clearly believes it. But they have guidelines for, I mean, there's so thing with the electronic voting. There's so many things that can go wrong. And even maintaining like different voter registrations, having the printouts. There's always stories every single election when they're feeding it back in and getting it to register. You always hear people where they feed in their ballot and it doesn't register. And then people at the precinct are like it creates some problems, especially because you don't want to double count, et cetera. You avoid all of that stuff by having, we need to go back. We need to go back to that. We need to go back to hand counting. There are so many insecurities. And here's the other thing. Voting is supposed to not be consolidated at one government level. That is why the founders were very intent on creating that distinction and having the states control their voting. That's why it's constitutional. States control their elections. They control how their people choose their leaders. They control how they vote. That's why, you know, after the lockdown, there was a lot of back and forth over it. Now, there was a lot of back and forth over the process through which people were changing their requirements. Different states were changing their requirements, because while states have that constitutional freedom guaranteed that they can control how they run their elections, if you want other states to accept the results of your elections, you have to make sure that you're running your elections with integrity. So you're free to run your elections how you want to, your state. But if you want, you know, the state of Texas or the state of Oklahoma to accept the results of that election, then they need to be run with integrity. There need to be protections in place. And, you know, you need to be able to demonstrate accountability and competency in order for everyone else to accept what you're doing. And that's sort of the agreement that all the states have. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, after 2020, some people, and I think there were people who didn't know what was going on, that were arguing that it was about stopping the election. It never was. It was about pausing to make sure that the electoral votes that they could validate and make sure that these elections were run properly, because states were changing how they were running their elections due to lockdown. So in certain instances, when you had mail-in ballots coming in, they would eliminate the requirement of having signatures and all of this other stuff. Now, remember what I said, states are free to run their elections how they want to, but in order for the expectation that other states accept those results, you need to demonstrate that you're running your elections with integrity. And people were saying, can we just pause for a moment and just double check to make sure? Because there's a lot of inconsistencies here and there are a lot of gaps in security. So can we please just double check? That's what all of that was about. Now, there were some bad actors out there who were claiming that this had to do with stopping the election that's not what it was about. It was making sure that these elections were run with integrity and that voters' choices were actually being protected. That's all it was. No one was undoing anything. They were making sure that everyone was still operating in that agreement. So that being said, this idea of electronic voting and not having everything be done at a federal level, electronic voting kind of makes it to where it's a quasi federal level thing, in my opinion. You're taking that step of helping to consolidate something by making it electronic. It seems like you can say, well, Dana, that's stupid. It's state run. Is it though? Can you be 1,000? Can you tell me with 1,000% guarantee, with total assurance, that there's no possible way that anything can be manipulated, that it couldn't easily just be consolidated federally, that it can't be manipulated outside of the state? Because without that guarantee and without that assurance, I have no idea why we're doing it. It's supposed to be by the states. And it actually should be something that's difficult or tedious to count, not difficult to count the ballots, but it should be tedious. It should be tedious because you're making sure that everything is double, triple checked. It should be tedious because you want both parties present. It should be tedious because you want to make sure that every single movement in the chain of command is documented. It should be tedious because it's important enough to be that detailed. So this woman, this is just a lie. Absolute lie. You know, I told you, there are instances when people are documenting that they had absentee ballot applications sent and all this other stuff. I think some of it is inconsistent. It's just not taking care of your voter rolls. But sometimes it's actually bad. I had to fight for forever to get a vote overturned or deleted, basically. There was someone who was registered to vote at my address illegally. And it was someone who never lived in my house. They had lived in the area, and I found out that they had vote. You can't tell who they voted for, but they weren't a Republican. And they had voted from my address, and it was not a legal vote from my address. And it was one person, but it was someone who was illegally registered, because in Texas, you can track absolutely everything. And you can track mail-in ballots and all this other stuff. And it was someone who had, it was a mail-in ballot. And I found out that because it was a 2016 vote, and I got the 2020 ballot for the person, they sent me a mail-in ballot to this person addressed to my house. And I found out that this person had been in the prior election, had illegally voted. And I had to fight to get that name off of my address. And I had to fight to get that removed from that vote being considered. It didn't really matter. But can you imagine? I mean, that's just me. I'm on air, and I had to literally slog it out with, you know, the system. It was crazy. But that happens. And I think that in some instances there are genuine errors, but then at the same time, I think there's also malicious actors who want to take advantage of that. And I'm sorry, for the taxes we pay, I don't want to have errors. I don't pay an ungodly amount of my salary to the federal government, and I don't pay this much for taxes for there to be any issue with anything. And with state, we pay a lot in property tax. I don't pay this much to have mistakes made, and there's no accountability. You can't make mistakes like what some of these state and federal officials make and still expect to have a job, but the government can. That's ridiculous. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I know a lot of steps have been taken in different areas. I remember when True the Vote was trying to restore voter integrity just in Houston. John Lewis, who everyone celebrates, he came down on that. He sent every alphabet agency to harass that group. It was insane. A few of the other things before we get going to Florida Man that we are looking at. I saw this story about, I don't really want to get into it, the RFK Jr. thing with Olivia Nuzzi. I think we talked about it briefly Friday. She is a reporter with the New York Post, I thought, or she's like a reporter, New York Magazine. And apparently she had an inappropriate relationship with RFK Jr. Some people were saying that they actually did meet several times, but he's now looking into a possible lawsuit against, this story came out in the New York Post, which is friendly towards RFK Jr. He's saying that Nuzzi bombarded him with increasingly pornographic photos and videos and tricked him into unblocking her numbers. Can I just pause here for a moment? I'm not going to read this whole story. I've written about this before. RFK Jr. agrees with us on the coronavirus vaccine. Great. That's great. He is a philandering son of a bitch. Let's be honest about that. Forgive my French, but it's accurate. He's messed around on his first wife. His second wife, Mary Richardson, his second wife, hung herself in the barn of the family home. He was out parading his now third wife, Cheryl Hines. He had Cheryl Hines on his arm, and he was parading her out and about, just torturing his ex, fighting her for custody. She ended up getting depression. It's sad she committed suicide, but the general sense is that he was exploiting. I think he and his behavior, he was not a supportive husband. That is not how a godly man acts. That is not how a strong husband acts. That is not how a helpmate acts. And instead of helping his wife or encouraging her apparently to get help, he was out running around on her. She ends up hanging herself in the barn. It sounds like the family says he was emotionally abusive to her. But not a great dude. He's very much a Kennedy in that regard. So while I think this reporter is definitely thirsty, clearly when you're posting photos of a certain kind of yourself just online, that's thirsty and it looks kind of desperate. At the same time, for him to act like she victimized him, he said the same thing about his ex-wife, his second wife. He said the same thing about his first wife. He kept sex diaries where he said that women would quote unquote mug him. That's how he described his sexual encounters. He was always the victim in every single thing. And that behavior hasn't changed. And he's just trying to put it all on her. So he's a Kennedy through and through. And he's definitely a Democrat through and through. He just agrees with you on the coronavirus vaccine. And after Democrats got mad at him because he wasn't totally hive mind on that, the right, that doesn't mean the right should go and lionize the guy. Just saying.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Can I just say, I just don't know if there's a better intro than Simple Minds' New Gold Dream. I mean, it's such a great intro. Oh, love it. Maybe some Love and Rocket stuff. I don't know. All right. Let's see. Okay. This is, I got to immediately get into this. This is the steak knives lady. I got to take her first. Lady Steak Knife. It's what we're calling her. A Florida woman attacks and throws steak knives at a dude because he left her at a bar. I feel like I would leave her there too. You know, she seems the type. A Florida woman was taken to jail. She attacked a dude with steak knives and a bottle opener at a Flagler County home last week. Daleen? I don't know. Keller, 34, was arrested on charges of aggravated battery and domestic battery. So they were called to her house because she was attacking a dude. She's crying in her mugshot. She looks really remorseful. The guy said it started, he left Keller at a bar because he wanted to leave and she didn't. Then they met up with each other later that night. She grabbed 3 steak knives and a bottle opener and began attacking him. She threw a steak knife at him as he hid behind a chair. And when he tried to disarm her, she stabbed him in the forearm with the bottle opener. Then she threw 2 knives at him when he tried to run away, striking him in the back and in his ear. It sounds like she's pretty good throwing knives. Like, why is she not doing axe throwing? Like, get her to a bar to do axe throwing, which is where you want to go.
Don't
right?
encourage that.
Yeah. She's taken into custody. She's on $12,500 bond. But I'm just saying, can I just go back to that for a minute? I mean, she got him every time. She's throwing them knives. And she's, don't do that.
He may have been I'm a big target.
I'm impressed, though.
He may have been a big target.
Because it sounded like she was inebriated, and she's still hitting the marks. That's all I'm saying.
Don't give her too much credit.
Like, if I was picking somebody for my axe throwing team, you know, or darts, I'd be like, she's with me. I'm just saying. Not she can't be right now because she's literally in jail, but you know what I mean. Two Florida men were arrested for catching a baby gator, and then they kept it in a cooler to eat. I'm actually sad for a gator. I can't even believe this. This is in Tallahassee. They're all the way up in Tallahassee, the gators?
Yeah.
Oh, they've been accused of eating a baby gator in Lake Talquin and keeping it alive in a cooler to eat later at home. That is so mean. They got charged because they took a gator without a license, and they accused each other of wanting to eat the gator. But they're in trouble. I kind of feel bad for that little gator. Little Gator. It's my new rap name. Stick with us. Third hour coming up.
One of the things that we should note, and I don't know if we can show this number. I want to put this up on screen. Latino voters have moved away from Harris in Arizona. If you believe this New York Times poll, her lead has shrunk by 11 points in that voting block. She was at 60% in August, now 49% now. Hmm.
Yeah, well, I'm not totally surprised. Who would be? I mean, she's horrible. Welcome back to the program. I'm so glad that we don't have like a broadcast that broadcasts what goes on during break. Dana Lash with you.
We should monetize
top of this third hour.
We should put it out on a CD or something.
I did come up with an amazing business idea, though. Yes, like, I want to purchase my non-existent product.
Don't say it. Everyone would have to sign an NDA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's good. It's good. Yep. Doesn't exist, but now it will. I feel like it needs to now. Where are we going? I feel like I'm in a Friday mood because I work this weekend, so I'm like Friday mode, and it's Monday, so I'm really sorry. I don't know what that means for you this week. It's going to get crazier. So, Channel 347 DirecTV. The chat happens on Rumble, and you can also find us on X as well. All right. So, the polling. We've been talking a little bit about that. I'm going to get into some of the culture stuff as well, but I saw this headline. Kane and I have been going back and forth on the polling because he doesn't want to believe anything that he sees. And look, I get it because I don't really either. No, I like he hates old people. I'm, you know, which I
really oversimplify the things I said.
I did not oversimplify it. It's not my problem that you have issues with old folks. Okay. I get
look,
that.
Look, not
you know.
All old people are innocent. That doesn't mean I'm throwing all old people out.
It's all right.
That's not how it works.
I heard you. No. 10-4. 10-4, good buddy.
And with polling, I really believe polling is what they use to drive people's beliefs. I don't believe that when you poll 2,000 people even. And what are the biggest samples that we see? 5,000? Yeah. 6,000?
Oh, believe. Tops? You're preaching to the choir.
Yeah, I know.
But here's the stick in the mud, though. And again, please understand that I don't want to be right. I really don't. I didn't want to be right about the level of enthusiasm at this point in the election, but I warned everybody about this over a year ago. That's what happens when you have a super long cycle, and then people are just so inundated with stuff that they just give up. And that's why we're like canvassing's down. Like there are some of these battleground states. I'm hearing from friends who work in ops that they're like, yeah, we've got a problem with getting turnout happening. It's an issue. And I'm a little nervous, you know. I'm always on 11, but I'm a little nervous. But my point is that I'm bringing this up not to be like critical or a Debbie Downer, because there's time on the clock and I like to fix stuff. Because Katie barred the door if I got to pay an ungodly amount in tax in November, because we've got, you know, Harry Walls who gets elected. Heaven help us. I am going to throw stuff. I will... Oh my gosh, you would call it a riot. I will call it a temper tantrum. It'll be a one woman riot. Temper tantrum is what it'll be.
I just call it somebody doing something. So,
Kane's like, I just call it somebody doing something. My point though in telling you this is, like I said, there's time on the clock. Can we course correct a bit and get some stuff fixed? But I was mildly amused, I have to say. I saw this headline. Democrats are starting to freak out a little bit. It's at the Hill because it is super close. They're worried that pollsters are undercounting Trump. Now, why would Democrats fear that pollsters are undercounting something? Well, they overcounted on purpose in 2020, I feel, because remember we were promised this red wave and it didn't happen. I was saying, I don't know if I'd believe the polls. Don't know if I trust it. And I had some folks that were mad at me because I didn't really want to. I felt as though they were inflating something and it was to Republicans' detriment. Because one of the things that Republicans do, and this is time and this is tested over time, is the moment that the GOP feels like they're doing well, they're like, okay, we're done now. It's great. Let's go home. It's done. Bye, guys. It's great. Good job. The election haven't even happened. And they're like, yeah, high five. High fives, everybody. Great job. We're going back. Let's go back. Let's go hang out. Let's go do something other. Right, Kane? Am I wrong?
Yeah, no. But Republicans are the ones that actually vote on election day.
Yeah.
They don't take advantage of the...
Well, I get it. I get it if you're like a college kid, although you got to get your stuff situated. And then if you're in the military, clearly. But right. Or if you're, if you've had surgery or elder, I get it. But... That is what they do. I have seen it. I have been one of those people who have been tasked with going out and canvassing and trying to get people to vote. And when people think that they're already going to win, when they think it's already so good, they're Republicans. Democrats are not like this. And it is a mental thing. It's like psychological profile. I don't know why. But Republicans are just like, okay, that's great, guys. Let's go home. Let's go hang out. Guys, I want to go bowling. They stop. And I don't know why. They do this all the time. They do this all the time. 2012, it was horrific. They were like this in 2012. I remember the polling. Romney looks pretty good. I was not a Romney fan. Oh, he looks pretty good. They just stopped. They didn't even test their software that they were using the day of elections to get out the vote. They didn't even test it. They just fired it up on election day and it didn't work. Not even kidding. Go and Google. That's a story. So I get concerned and I look at the story and it says Democrats feel pollsters are undercounting Trump because they purposely overcounted it to give Republicans a false sense of victory in 2020. And I think that helped to suppress the vote. So there's always going to be a level of fraud. The question is it enough fraud for an entire election? I think at this point, elections are still state run and it's still so jointed that it's difficult. It would be almost impossible to do it. Almost. Now it's been a weird 4 years, so who the hell knows anymore. That's why you always have to beat the margin of theft. I don't even like saying margin of error anymore. You got to beat the margin of theft, okay? That's why turnout is so important. I like to just flood it. I want so many people to turn out that the precincts are overwhelmed and people are like, make it stop. That's what you want. And the truth of the matter is that Republicans can actually do that. We just don't. They don't. And the reason being is because the moment they think that they're in the lead, they're like, okay. It's like, imagine you're running a 200-meter race. Republicans are the guy who's first place and he's almost at the finish line. He's like, hey, I'm doing pretty good. And then he just kind of stops like, yay. And then everybody else passes him. Every time they do this. And it's so frustrating. So they, 2016, they were trying to hype it up and they were wrong in 2016 because they undercounted him. And then in 2020, they decided, well, let's go the other way and see if that works. 2018, they kind of did it too. 2018 and 2020, I think that they were purposely overemphasizing a red wave for that suppressive effect. So I think now it's close. And then one of the other things that Republicans have not addressed is the split ticket voting, which Texas is getting rid of. Thank heavens, and closing primaries. Thank heavens. Split ticket vote, Texas is getting rid of open primaries. The split ticket voting is a thing, meaning you can't just go and get a Republican ballot and blah, blah, blah all the way down. You actually have to vote in everything, and that can be a problem for those people who don't want. Maybe they're like one of those they don't like Harris, but they're not a fan of Trump, and they would rather vote against Harris. Maybe they leave it blank. Maybe they, you know, because the number of votes doesn't decrease, but it does change the number of votes a particular candidate may receive. And I think some people incorrectly interpret that as fraud. It was an issue in Texas because Cornyn got more votes than Trump did in Texas. I know. John Cornyn got more votes than Trump did in Texas because of the split ticket voting. And it wasn't because it was an element of fraud. It was because literally people would either leave it blank or they'd write something in. And so that is something that the RNC has not addressed yet. So the Democrats are freaking out because they say they think that there could be undercounting. They could be undercounting, underestimating Trump with these polls. And they said that it's been really damaged since 2016. And I don't think that that's necessarily incorrect. I think it was pretty, and looking at the runoff and the special elections in Georgia, I think it was pretty accurate, the surveys that were done there. I think that in the battleground states, he does perform his averages historically. He way overperformed his averages in 2016 with that blue wall. He still outperformed his averages in 2018. And he, in some of these other battleground polls right now, it's kind of similar to 2020, and Democrats are worried that they're undercounting him because of that statistic. So it is, I just want to caution people about the polling effort. I also wanted to bring this up because this is super important. Let me pull this up. Got a million windows open here really quickly. This is in my, I think this is under my GOP heading. So the other issue, just to be aware of it, this is it. Republicans in swing states. This is from the Associated Press, and I have heard this from really good sources and people who work with groups that are doing this independently of the other groups working with the RNC. The activists in swing states are saying that they have not seen a lot of canvassing from the RNC. The story says that they've seen little sign, if any, of the teams tasked with knocking on doors and turning out infrequent voters on behalf of Trump. It's raising concerns about the party's presidential nominee relying on these groups for an important part of campaign operations. He controls the RNC, and he opted to share get-out-the-vote duties with a couple of political action committees. And they have fewer, I mean, we're weeks out. And they said that in Michigan and North Carolina and other battleground states, activists and operatives who have been in these areas and been active for years say that they have either rarely or have not witnessed the group's canvassers. Now, they said that in Nevada and Arizona, the America PAC, which is one I think Musk backed, they replaced their canvassers just this week. In Michigan, the field director for the GOP in Oakland County, which is a super red county, said, quote, "I haven't seen anybody." He says no one's given any kind of heads up and we haven't seen anybody in Oakland areas. So it's one thing to rely on your base when you're turning out people to rallies, but you got to turn those people out for votes. And this does not, you have to have a good ground operation here. And in these states particularly, I cannot emphasize enough how important it is to get out in front of voters, how important it is to go and knock on those doors, to have voter drives, to do these events, especially Michigan, because in 2020, Trump lost by 158,000 votes. And a lot of these were votes that he could have gotten. These weren't far left votes. These were people who just, I mean, when you look at the number of people who were Republican and didn't show up, that's it. So this is my point. You've got to turn these votes out. And there are some, apparently it looks like it might be the worst in Michigan, but they don't know if they're going door to door. They don't know what's happening. So this is, the RNC needs to get on this immediately. Otherwise, what in the hell are people giving them money for? What's the point of controlling the RNC if you're not going to make it get out and go and make them work with these groups and make sure every battleground state, every toss-up state is covered in terms of get out the vote outreach? What is the point of controlling the RNC at that point? If I was controlling the RNC and I was a candidate on the ballot, my gosh, it would be insane, the operations in these states, because it's coming down to these states. And North Carolina, they're dealing with issues there right now. So, it's incredibly important now, so more than ever, to make sure that you have an operation out there.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay. So one of the things we're going to be talking about coming up with Brendan Carr here is how the FCC is going to delay the rollout of the internet in rural communities. Remember, that was part of this huge boondoggle deal that Kamala Harris was supposedly in charge of. How many people were connected to the internet because of her $42 billion? We're going to talk more about that coming up. Also, this telegram is that I don't really think anything is safe. Telegram was advertised as being safer, but now the messaging app, it's revealed, going to provide more data to governments and include users' IP addresses and phone numbers in response to valid legal requests. And remember, they took that guy into custody too. So is that because he was just pressured too much by the French government? I don't know. We'll see. Because remember, they would not bend the knee, and so the government went after them. The French government did. A mystery beast in Minnesota woods. Is it Tim Walz's wife? A mystery beast in Minnesota woods is baffling experts. They say it's a wolf-dog hybrid. So not a werewolf. I know, they say it's walking around the woods in northern Minnesota. And the wild find occurred after the Voyager's Wolf Project at the University of Minnesota. They captured the animal roaming around a trail. It is weird. It looks like a fluffy wolf dog. It's just a wolf dog. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty, but they're trying to figure out what it is. A Missouri teenager was suspended by his school for posting a picture of a firearm made out of soda cans. Yeah. That's the dumbest thing ever. We're going to save this. This was in Mountain View at Liberty Middle School. It was Dr. Pepper cans. Brendan Carr is next.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Little Queen, Radio Gaga. But those lyrics, so great. Back when bands were great, you didn't have to worry about, totally, until you had Tipper Gore come along. You didn't really have to worry about the government. No, stamping down on you too bad what you said on the airways. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this third hour. I wanted to point out this article to you, and this is going to lead into our guest, Brendan Carr, here in just a moment. Listen to this. This past June, we had Brendan Carr on the program. And as you know, he is the commissioner on the Federal Communications Commission, previously general counsel for the FCC. This story from the New York Post The FCC approved a controversial deal that fast-tracked left-leaning billionaire George Soros's acquisition of radio stations that reach more than 165 million Americans. They adopted this order to approve the purchase 200 stations. It affects Odyssey. Well, this is the Odyssey acquisition. This is, affects people like yours truly. And the decision came. It was a vote with three Democrats voting for, two voting against, Republicans voting against. So typically, the way that I understand it, the ownership and the post touches on this, a foreign company ownership of stations, they're not supposed to exceed 25%. And Soros took foreign investment to make his bid. And then he made a filing and asking, he asked the commission to make an exception to this process. And it's being described as a fast-tracked deal. And also the first time in modern history, the Post writes, that a deal has been approved by the full commission without first running the national security review process, a process they note that could take up to a year or more. Soros, his group, says that they'll come back to the FCC at some point in the future to run that process. I'm real sure they will. On this issue, and of course other issues, our guest, Brendan Carr, you can follow him on X at Brendan Carr FCC. Commissioner, we're so glad that you can join us. Thank you so much for your time. I know where you stand on this, but I'm just shocked that someone could get an exception. And I feel like the exception that was granted to him was due to the size of his wallet.
Yeah, it's interesting. I just saw the same story you did from the New York Post, Lydia Moynihan, reporting that the FCC voted to approve this transaction just last Wednesday. At this point, I can't sort of comment beyond what that story says, but I've been very clear on the record here. So this Soros-backed group has come to the FCC and asked for a special shortcut, exactly like you pointed out. They have excessive foreign ownership in excess of 25%. In the commission has never signed off on something like this without first running the national security review. But we apparently do, according to this reporting, for the first time ever, simply to benefit the Soros group, it seems like.
Do you believe that the group is going to come back? They said they're going to come back to the FCC in the future and undergo that process. But that seems silly to go back and undergo the security review after the acquisition's been greenlit.
Yeah, I think they will come back. They have to come back legally. What they're saying is in the interim, they're going to sort of wall off the foreign interest holders, but that the Soros group itself wants to get the reins of these radio stations very quickly, and then they'll come back once they're in control and go through that process. So again, we're talking about over 200 radio stations across 40 different markets that they're getting a hold of. And my position here has been pretty simple. Let's apply our normal process, our normal rules. You know, what's so special about this particular transaction that merits an unprecedented shortcut at this time of year?
It wouldn't be the election, would it?
Yeah, no comment on that one.
Well, I'm just thinking out loud. Maybe it's the election. So talking with Brendan Carr, FCC commissioner, does this mean that, you know, are they going to run conservatives off the airwaves on those stations? I mean, there's the potential that, you know, if we say something that's either critical of the Soros group or, I mean, ultimately that's a real possibility, is it not? We could be removed off air.
Certainly, yeah, certainly a possibility. If you look at these stations, a lot of them are sort of news or classic rock, but there are a number of conservative voices that are on some of these 200 stations around the country. And I've heard those concerns be aired. Again, my view is mainly just about, like, let's follow our normal process here. It's concerning that we didn't do this. You know, Congressman Chip Roy was someone that really sounded the alarm on this months ago as well. And so I think it's a pretty significant, proceeding at this point.
Seeing that this is the first time beat the litmus test in terms of foreign ownership, is that going to set a precedent? Is that something that you fear?
Yeah, I mean, look, again, the full commission had just never done this before. In fact, a couple of years ago, we took public comment. We went through a years-long rulemaking to come up with one exception to how you can have excessive foreign ownership. And it's this sort of lengthy petition for declaratory ruling process. We created one exception. And now we didn't go through a rulemaking. We didn't take hundreds of days the way we did last time, just totally out of the blue. We're creating an entirely new exception that apparently anybody can use at this point. You can exceed our foreign ownership requirements. You can claim that you're walling them off. And you can get a hold of these stations very quickly now.
Wow. Just unbelievable. So it's historic. I just thought, I don't know what I thought. I thought that maybe it wouldn't get approved by the FCC. I was kind of thinking that maybe it wouldn't happen. because, you know, I know your voice and I know the sentiments of the sentiment of the Republicans on the commission. But I was a little bit surprised, but I've learned my lesson. I shouldn't be anymore. So they're going to come back. You said legally they're required to come back to do this review. Do you, last question on this issue before we move to the broadband, do you think that what if something comes up in the review? What if they're, you know, they come back a year later, within the year, and they're you're doing the security review and say something does come up or there is an objection that comes up? Like, what happens after the deal's essentially already been made if there's something objectionable that does arise?
Well, that's right. That's why this is supposed to be done on the front end. Normally, when you run the process on the front end, if there is an issue that you would sort of legally wall certain interests off, you mm-hmm. can get national security agreements put in place. Again, it's not just the FCC. It's a whole raft of national security agencies that look at this. I mean, if there is something very serious an issue, you know, could there be something potentially meriting the unwinding of the whole transaction? That's possible. But I think the first step people would probably look at this stage is mitigating concerns. Again, it's entirely possible there's no issue there at all, but we're just flying blind at this point.
Just wild. Talking with Brendan Carr, commissioner on the Federal Communications Commission. So the big broadband project. I know you are a huge fan of this. This $42 billion plan to expand the internet, provide access as fast as they could allow, I think, or as fast as could be allowed, to provide access to rural Americans from coast to coast. And how many people have been connected since that money was allocated and that project proposed?
Yeah, I can count it on less than one hand. It's zero. So back in 2021, as you indicated, President Biden asked Vice President Harris to lead this signature $42 billion plan to get millions of people connected. And now we're in excess of 1,040 days and not a single home, not a single business, not one person has been connected to the internet. I think the bottom line for me is this. We all as a country owe Secretary Buttigieg an apology, because when it came out earlier this year that he had connected only 8 EV charging stations after getting $7 billion, people thought that was a bad thing. But now I think in hindsight, when you see that we've connected zero people to the internet with this Harris-led program for $42 billion, his 8 actually looks pretty good in comparison.
He actually beat her on something. Well, you know, he did beat her in 2020 in the primaries, too. I mean, she was pulling behind him. So, you know, that the trend continues. We're talking with Brendan Carr. But this was, I mean, my favorite, and I think you may have quote tweeted this, was this map that Secretary Buttigieg put out about the largest infrastructure investment. And he was, I guess, like they had dots that were supposed to be where all the people were being connected. And that never happened. And that's been quite some time ago. It's never happened. So what's going to happen to the money? I mean, they don't have a lot of time left in this administration's tenure. Were they going to just throw it all together and fight? I mean, what are they going to do with $42 billion? It's a lot.
Yeah, this thing has just really gone off the rails. If you look at the state official that have been trying to work with the Biden-Harris administration, again, Harris is the one leading this particular initiative, they are describing it as dysfunctional, as delay, as advice being given one day, countermanded the next day, no advice given at all. It's a total mess. Right now, they're saying there won't be a single shovel's worth of dirt that turns this year. They're saying maybe it'll happen next year at the earliest. And so we're looking at just years of additional delay. Again, we're already over 1,000 days. This makes it the slowest moving federal broadband initiative that I'm aware of. And yet people are still out there trying to cut, you know, great headlines about Vice President Harris leading the way on this.
What is the holdup to this? Because I know with the EV charging stations, one of the stories that came out is a lot of the DEI stuff. They had all the contractors and all the people that were providing, even just like the supplies and doing the work and, you know, whatever it takes to build these charging stations. They had to check all of these DEI boxes, which apparently even in the Department of Transportation, they were saying was just really, it was just unnecessary labor. It was just ridiculous box checking to do this. Is the same thing maybe also at play here?
Yeah, you're right. It's the exact same story. Rather than just quickly connecting people, they've taken that 1,000 plus days to adopt DEI requirements. They're pushing a climate change agenda, preferences for government-run networks and union labor. They're doing, you know, hiring preferences all over the place. And again, you know, let's get rid of this progressive policy agenda. Or if you want to push it, fine, push it somewhere. Let's have a debate about it. When it comes to people that are stuck on the wrong side of the digital divide, we're really going to spend time with a climate change agenda, pushing DEI preferences. So that is a big piece of how this has gone so far off track.
One last question for you. Kind of brings maybe some of it, all of it together, talking with Brendan Carr, the FCC. Are we going to see a fairness doctrine reintroduced?
Well, look, if you go back historically, I think the fairness doctrine was not very fair to conservatives in terms of how the government applied it. And so my position has been, you know, more speech, more debate. The trend recently has been towards governments, whether it's here or Brazil or other places, censoring free speech. I think that's the opposite of where we need to go. We as a culture need to support this, you know, robust exchange of ideas. I think that's the better approach.
Yeah, instead of jailing the people who are making or purchasing the platforms to help facilitate it, like the guy with Telegram. And now we're hearing that, oh, no, they're working. They're going to just go ahead and give up people's information as well if asked. Scary times we live in. We appreciate you fighting on behalf of free speech. Brendan Carr with the FCC. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
Of course. You too.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Senator, you have stood firmly behind Israel, but do you agree with any part of what your colleague, Senator Sanders, said there?
No, not at all. And I want to be very clear. I thought what Israel chose to do about blowing up the pagers and then walkie-talkies, and then after targeting and eliminating membership and leadership of Hezbollah, I absolutely support that. In fact, if anything, I love it. And Israel demonstrated that they will not allow terrorists not to be held accountable, and I fully support that. And it's not about nothing that has what my colleague has said.
Yeah, so he's got a hoodie pass. See, I like that. Why can't all Democrats sound like that? Why has he got to be the only one that makes sense on this? You know, I kind of want to intervene here and tie just a small knot in each of the strings on the side of his hoodie, because I noticed on that hoodie it wasn't knotted, and so when he washes it, that string's going to disappear, and it's going to be just annoying to get that out. As a kindness, you know, if we're just talking sense, I'd like to, you know, I just got to intervene real quick. Like, you know, make sure you put a knot on that string so it doesn't disappear up inside your hoodie. Like, make sure. So he's got the hoodie pass on that. He's like, in fact, I think I love it. You knew that they were just, you couldn't see the anchors' faces or the producers' faces, but you knew that they were just going, oh, when he said that. You knew it. You knew it. They were just shocked that he said it.
I mean, Cut 20 was another moment he had with the same interviewer, which I thought was pretty.
And 22.
Yeah, I know. That one I was going to say.
Okay, before. Do 20 then. You have Fetterman as your Today in Stupidity?
I do. Only because he doubled down after doing what we're about to play now.
Okay, go ahead.
I know you've talked about this quite a bit. Vice President Harris, as you know, once supported a ban on fracking when she was running for president in 2020. She even sued the Obama administration to prevent fracking off California's coast. Now she says she will not ban the practice as president. Why should voters trust that that is really what the vice president believes?
It's so strange why we just keep talking about fracking. Now, back in 2020, I said that that might be an issue, but it's not going to be a defining issue. And now in 2024, we're still trying to talk about fracking. And now the other side, they're talking about eating cats and geese and dogs and saying absurd things and talking about how if Trump doesn't win, he said that, you know, you have to blame the Jews on that. And just absurd things, you know, like having a serious policy conversation on the other side.
So he started off so good, and he just doesn't want to be, he does not want to have to be pitted against Kamala Harris and talking about the fracking thing, because that's a big, that's a problem. That's a problem for her. She has that record. That is a problem for her.
And we can play 22 if you want. I have so much stupidity to pull from.
I can't believe, can I just say that he gets the hoodie pass though, at least, because he was talking right about the Hamas stuff. Okay, I'm sorry. It just makes me sad. It's like, go ahead.
Go ahead, 19. Or 20, sorry. No.
Questions for Senator Lindsey Graham, there's no doubt about that. But to the point, what do you now like about fracking? You say you're not going to ban it. You support it now.
They're eating dogs. They're eating cats. You know, again, so, okay. Yes, any more on fracking? I think...
Well, I want to ask you about the Middle East, actually. Let's move on.
Come on.
Wait, and he goes, any more on fracking? She's like, well, I want to ask you about the Middle East, apparently. I mean, I guess that's one way to avoid being pitted against the top of the ticket on your party. You know? I mean, I'll give him credit. I think he's playing dumb right there. So I'm not going to be totally ignorant to him because he's in a rock and a hard place. And Democrats have been kind of mean to him because he hates terrorists and they like terrorists. So I don't know. But that's pretty wild. All right, folks, that does it for us today. We're going to be back together tomorrow. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter, Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe. I'll be back with you tomorrow.